City Council. We will begin with a pledge of allegiance led today by myself. Please stand if you are able and join me in saluting our nation's flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Here.
Councilmember Newsom?
Here.
Councilmember Peak?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Here.
Mayor Rowe?
Here.
All present.
All right. Well, if you are attending in person or listening to the City Council meeting tonight, welcome. We will begin with our consent calendar. Consent calendar are items considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and will be acted upon in a single motion unless otherwise requested by an individual council member for separate consideration. And we will invite public comment on consent calendar item. And I will now, well, I guess I'll now open it to public comment for a moment. Do we see no public coming forward? Will we return it to the council? Does any member of the council have a question on a consent calendar item or wish to make a comment? If not, I will entertain a motion on the consent calendar.
Move approval. Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Daris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
And Mayor Barbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, we will proceed to updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. I appreciate that. I do have a few. First of all, we were really thrilled to celebrate women this week at the Women's Week at Her Table Women's Festival here in the Sutton Gardens. It was a huge success. You can see some pictures there. Really, we had a dinner hosted by Marin's Vineyard Wine Tasting Room on Entrada on Friday night, with the main event wrapping up with a big celebration in the Sutton Garden here. We had 80 vendors on Sunday afternoon. You can see them in the picture there. We saw an average of 300 visitors every hour. So 1,500 people came throughout the day to patronize and celebrate women's businesses. That was terrific. Really pleased to be part of that. Next, our El Camino project. Boy, the last 2 weeks, you really see it coming together with the catenary poles coming in and the pavers, and We're really looking great, and it's exciting to see our future unfold before our very eyes. So work will continue in the meeting of El Camino between Colony Cinemas, Huckleberries, and Traffic Way. This is the nice work. This is pavers, plants, so you can really see it coming along. The K-rails have all been pulled out. Those are up north of Traffic Way to Rosario. That's the harder work on curbs, planters, landscaping, the concrete, and the electrical and lighting. So all that harder work is now north of Traffic Way. And you can really see the Sutton Gardens area looking great. We'll continue to have narrow travel lanes and traffic delays, but access to business will always remain open. As usual, atascadero.org/ECR project. You can always go to see where we'll be working for the next few weeks. But we're definitely getting there here mid-March towards the early part of summer when we look forward to completing the project. Next slide I have, there was a question I reported to you on the state fire hazard severity maps. And so this was something that the state was releasing. They began releasing these a few weeks ago, going from north to south in California. And that's a picture of ours with a QR code. I wanted to have that for the community if they see that. We are reviewing the differences between our existing wildland urban interface map and the new fire hazard severity map released by the state fire marshal. I will be bringing recommendations to you prior to a 120-day deadline for comments. So this is the time for residents to look at this, share their comments with us. We will have a hearing on it and discuss it, what it means. But you can see we're trying to compare this to, it's not an apples to apples comparison because there's some new systems here. There's very high, moderate risk. But you can see that's what we look like initially. And this impacts building codes, defensible space clearances, et cetera, in high and very high severity zones. And so we'll keep you posted, but I did want to share that visual with the community and have a QR code for people to scan if they'd like some more information. Next is the update on the waste drop-off and paper shredding week. So this is something that came up as a result of the council approving the amendment to the agreement. There's no more waiting in line for a voucher at the local waste management office required or getting up to Chicago grade landfill. So April 19th through 26th is the waste drop off and paper shredding week. So for all your shredded paper and other things, this is the time to take advantage of this. You can take your household waste, scrap metal, organic waste, paper products, and other items now to the Waste Management Transfer Station at 3360 La Cruz Way off Ramada Drive. So this is kind of almost towards the Tin City area for people who may not be familiar with that address, towards Tin City. So a good bit easier to get to. And you need to bring your picture ID and your waste management bill. That's important. So please, if you go, bring your picture ID, your waste management bill, and you can knock out all that getting rid of that debris in one trip. So if you go to home.wm.com/Atascadero, there's more information on this. But this is, again, April 19 to 26 is the waste drop-off and paper shredding week. On to more fun things. Tickets are now available for the 6th Annual Central Coast Craft Beer Festival. So this is March 22nd from 12 to 4 right here in the Sunken Gardens. You can sip, savor, and celebrate with samples from over 55 craft breweries. So seltzers, kombucha, ciders, all kinds of things. We're going to make sure it's a beautiful day, that blue top right corner as opposed to the bottom right corner of the photo. And enjoy live entertainment, food trucks, merchant vendors, lawn games. And there'll be shuttle service available from San Luis Obispo and select Atascadero hotels. So if you stay in a Atascadero hotel, you can really have a good time and get back to your hotel safely, which is really important. So we're excited to host that. On to our band announcements. So Saturday Summer Concert Series has been announced for 25, offering a variety of genres. There they are, from classic soft rock to pop rock and blues to feel-good rock and country. So something for everybody. This starts on June 28th with the Rockin' Bees Band, which is rock, country, and other favorites. You can see these are at the Atascadero Lake Bandstand, 6:30 to 8:30, always free to attend. Bring your chair, enjoy yourself. So these will go throughout July and August. They wrap up on August 30th. Always fun. Another thing for fun, let's wish the Pavilion on March 21st a happy 33rd birthday. So that building has been serving our community for so many years. We're so fortunate to have a community hall like that. It's a place for great memories, great celebrations, great fundraisers. So happy 33rd birthday to the Pavilion. And finally, I would share that I was in Washington, D.C. last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday representing our community. I wanted to give a public report on that. Our first priority was to locate $1 million in funding that was appropriated through a congressional project request from Congressman Panetta in 2024. And we've made that connection and started the process of being able to draw that money down. That is for phase two of the El Camino project, including the arches and more street furniture. So really pleased we were able to make that contact through HUD. I had a good meeting with their staff and connected ours to theirs. And so that's terrific. Making sure that FEMA obligations from the storm, we've been getting awards for that. We received several $100,000 to date in an obligation letter. So making sure that obligation equates to dollars sent to our community. I think that's really important right now and uncertainty. And so having conversations on that. We had two projects, I say had, we're not totally to had yet, but fiscal 25 community projects that Senator Padilla and Butler had put in $1.2 million to help with our dispatch center, and Congressman Panetta had put in for $850,000 to equip the EOC. Those were 25 projects with the action of Congress today on approving a continuing resolution. Those projects are not in the House bill. So those projects would be removed from the continuing resolution. The Senate still has to act. So this is just how what's happening in Washington plays in our community. We did meet with the staff of each of those offices, immediately sharing that we will be counting on their continued support for those projects in FY26. So that was another point of the project was, or the trip was to talk about how important those appropriations are. We're signing a contract. We're really looking forward to that support. We discussed with FEMA how important the SAFER grant program is and COPS grants, and how important that we hope the administration will find that public safety and staffing public safety is important. And finally, having several discussions with people on the importance of tax-free municipal bonds. And I think for our community, I was sharing a story that the council has approved the issuance of bonds for the new fire and police station. And if we had to do those at a taxable rate, that would be an extra $400,000 payment a year. That's equivalent to a couple firefighters and another staff person Or if you recall, that exceeds your budget from D20 dollars. And so that would make the project very difficult, if impossible, to finance. So that's the importance of tax-free municipal bonds as it relates to our community. And so having a conversation like that, I think, was really meaningful as we discussed it with staff on the Hill. So positive trip. We'll see how it goes. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. I do have a question for you. We know we can't get into it in detail, but on the fire severity hazard maps, you mentioned about, you know, having an opportunity to discuss it in greater detail because we have to pass some sort of an ordinance in the next 120 days. But you mentioned about having some public input. But unfortunately, what I read in the email is that the state fire marshal is publishing these maps. And while they will take comments, they're not really taking input in the sense of any changes.
That is correct.
So even though I would guess that our fire marshal and our fire chief know our community better than the state fire marshal, this is what it is.
That is correct. So I think we're now looking at where do we need to educate people if a zone changed? What are the more significant impacts of this? I don't know if the fire chief would be interested in sharing anything about your thoughts thus far. It may be premature since you just got it. But
right. I don't expect, and I know because of the Brown Act, we can't get into a detailed discussion, but I think the first thing that comes to people's minds would be insurance. So, but anyway, I just want to make that point, though, that unfortunately, as we invite the public to potentially comment on this in the future, the state isn't listening. I'm sorry. Did you have a question, Councilmember?
Right. I had a question on the same issue. And would it be possible for the public to comment with, not with questions on, why should we move my house out of this zone? That won't be helpful because we can't do anything. But wouldn't it be helpful to hear public comments on what should our city decide on in these zones to make sure that everyone keeps themselves and their neighbors as safe as can be?
I've consulted with our very good attorney here, and he believes we can discuss a bit about this public process. So maybe, Chief Bryson, would you be comfortable with what you've learned so far and how we'll be soliciting comment and how that works?
Yeah, for sure. So these maps came out on Monday morning. We are just now taking a good look at them. It is drastically different than our wildland urban interface map that we adopted in 2021. So we'll need to compare the different lines, the different streets, and see what changes we need to make. We do need to enforce our wildland urban interface building code to the high and the very high. So there will be some changes made, but we'll see how it goes. We do have 30 days to publish our maps and allow for public comment. So we'll have it on our website. We'll be taking comments both to myself and the fire marshal. And we'll kind of use this time to hear what the public has to say and then also address where we can further educate and then enhance our wildland preparedness education as well. So.
And then there will be a public hearing scheduled prior to the deadline of this where the public can actually talk and ask questions here in front of you.
Got it. All right. Thank you. Any other questions of the city manager regarding his report? Okay. If not, we will proceed to our next item, which is community forum. Community forum is reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter not on the agenda, but over which the council has jurisdiction. Brown Act prohibits council from discussing matters not on the agenda, but the council at its discretion may ask staff to contact a speaker regarding an issue raised during community forum, or we may ask staff to provide a brief answer to any clear question. I see nobody in the audience to come forward for community forum, so I'm going to consider that community forum is now closed, and we will proceed on to the next item. We have no public hearings, but we do have a management report. And that is regarding our sales tax measure D20 annual report. And this will be presented by our administrative services director, Jerry Rangel.
Thank you very much. And good evening, council and mayor and council. Tonight, we are pleased to bring to you the 2024 sales tax measure D20 annual report. So just as an overview of some of this that you all have seen quite frequently. Sales tax measure D20 is the essential services transaction and use tax that increased our local sales tax by 1% to 8.75. Tascadero voters passed this measure back in November of 2020 to generate revenue to fund many of the community's key priorities. D20 is a general tax and is deposited in the general fund and is included in the city's audited financial statements. D20 activity and the D20 report was reviewed jointly by the Finance Committee and the Citizens Sales Tax Oversight Committee last month. Tonight's discussion will be a brief overview on Measure D20 and city finances. The measured D20 revenue for last year was $6.5 million, which is $150,000 higher than it was in the prior year and $42,000 more than it was budgeted. Measure D20 spending was focused on community priorities, including public safety and citywide staffing and retention, equipment, vehicles, facilities, and community cleanliness, among other things. The city has been able to hire new staff in police and fire that have allowed those departments to better address some of the acute needs in our community and provide support and resources where they are needed most. Replacement of equipment like our out-of-date 911 emergency dispatch system, patrol cars, and fire engines provide more efficiency and reliability while reducing maintenance costs. Replacement and renovation of the public safety facilities has been a primary focus of the community, and Measure D20 was the ideal funding solution for these critical infrastructure assets. Since Council's approval of the DBE contract last month for this project, staff and the DBE team are continuing to move the project forward for the replacement of Fire Station 1 and the renovations at Fire Station 2 and the police station. Staff proposes using the Measure D20 to also pay for the soft costs and the bond payments, as City Manager Lewis was referring to earlier. And community cleanliness was another key issue for D20. And during 2024, over 48 tons of debris was removed from encampments, improving public spaces and the city's waterways. Measure D20 annual report summarizes the revenues collected and the priorities of the funds that they are being used on. If approved tonight, the Measure D20 report will be mailed to properties within the city. It will also be made available on the website and at City Hall. Measure D20 is included in the city's general fund and is audited annually by independent financial auditors. The financial statements were determined to be fairly presented, accurate, and compliant. The 2023 was very successful, with most key revenues coming in ahead of budget and operating costs coming in under budget. The city is dedicated to smart financial planning and excellent stewardship of Measure D20 funds and all communities funds. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Rangel. Any member of council have questions for staff? Councilmember Fong?
Yes. On the revenue graph, would it be possible to do that? Can you put it up for a second? I see that the axis on the left hand, the vertical axis, starts at 6.1 million. And so it looks like our revenue is exploding. Mm-hmm. But actually we're very pleased to see modest increases, right? Is that a better?
Yes.
Okay. Would it be possible to create a graph that maybe had that was a little bit less generous in making it look like that. Awesome.
Yes, I have prepared some options for you. So the colors are not exactly correct, and so forgive me for that. But the top graph is essentially what has been proposed that's currently in the Measure D20 annual report. And the lower two are two separate options that we can use or adjust. So the leftmost option starts at 5 million on the axis and then goes up higher than that. So it shows a less drastic increase. The graph on the right goes from zero to 7 million up on the top, and then has includes the first year, which was one quarter of the year, to kind of give perspective on that.
I would agree with Councilmember Funk that the one on this draft is confusing, or provides almost misleading in the sense of the rate of growth. And the one on the bottom right, by showing the partial year, is perfectly correct, but it also kind of confuses the picture. So that, to me, the one on the bottom left is the better of the three. But I don't know, does any other council member have any thoughts on that?
The bottom left one looks best to me of these options. And one thing one can do with a graph is you can also do some sort of like a broken line or squiggle on the axis that points out that data has been omitted. I'm sure that Councilmember Newsom has seen that too in various financial documents.
I'm good with the left one.
Bottom left. Okay, let's see, before we proceed, if no other questions of staff, let's see if we have any public comment on this item. But again, I see no one in the audience. So I think we will close public comment period on this item, bring it back to council. Any further questions or comments, or are we just ready for a motion? Are we, we're approving this, correct? That's the recommendation?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Funk.
I do have one question, and that's, whether, and we're looking at the bill at the section on building a safer future, as we're describing the work on Fire Station 2, that it is outdated and insufficient for current building standards. So my understanding is one of the key aspects of that is that it's not as safe as it needs to be for our firefighters, so that they are, particularly that they lack a way to get decontaminated from fire before they get into their living quarters, and they lack that separation of a place to exercise that is not also cohabiting with vehicles that have contamination on them. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, thank you for the question. You nailed it, and that's exactly right. So Station 2 will have the same decontamination, safety features, cancer prevention, separation of workout space, four bedrooms, just like the total rebuild of Fire Station 1.
I'm wondering if it would be possible, without getting ourselves into a situation of liability, to replace outdated with something with a word or phrase that's slightly more expressive of the importance and to our firefighters, to the health of our firefighters, of this. So it's not just that it looks old and run down and we need to spiff it up. The issue is we need to do this for the safety of our employees and the people who are putting their lives on the line for us.
I think we're just conveying that the standards, modern standards, have continued to shift while our little building then gets more and more inadequate. And so that's why we came up with outdated and insufficient. Those are the terms the staff came up with. If the council wants to wordsmith, you may. But that's what we were trying to convey, is it is outdated to current standards that continue. As we learn more and more about firefighter health and safety, it becomes more and more outdated, hence the word.
But there are many other, I mean, that is an important point, but there are also other areas for which it's outdated. I mean, not just workplace safety, and that wouldn't be the only workplace safety consideration, I assume. So, I mean, my only concern is if we try to get that specific, there's probably a whole bunch of other reasons it's outdated, you know, not just that reason. Is that a fair assessment of its, you know, of its shortcomings, that there are multiple shortcomings?
Yes, there are multiple shortcomings. It's all the way around from safety issues to size, building code, all those types of things kind of factor into that.
Okay, because I mean, I wouldn't oppose if you could do it in a couple in two words, but I think it's you know, addressed in the sense that it is insufficient for current public building standards. I suppose some people might wonder what those are, but if we list one, then we're kind of leaving out others, I suppose. Okay, any comments? Any other comments from other members of the council? Okay.
I just, if we're going to try and wordsmith that, maybe and insufficient for employee safety and current building, public safety building standards.
Okay. Looks like it would still fit in that paragraph. I'm just concerned. We're pretty tight on space here. I don't want to take it beyond
that. Yeah, it's three words, and I think that fits. No?
If...
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just am concerned about liability pieces and kind of language like that. Maybe our city attorney can.
Yeah. Well, when in doubt on that issue, when in doubt, leave it out.
Because the building's not built yet. So you still have employees in the building.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as we communicate, you know, continue to communicate about this, the messaging that's really powerful in people is let's make sure we're doing right by our firefighters and also making sure that our buildings are not going to come down in the next earthquake. And people understand the need to invest in that. And that works.
I'm still just trying to understand how this doesn't convey that we're building a brand new, both fire stations that will be more modern, more safe, have all these additional things. We'll provide new living quarters. Sorry, I'm struggling with the council trying to, where this doesn't say that and what the context is that you're trying to address. Right. I'm sorry that I'm struggling with that.
Okay. I mean, I understand what you're getting at, but I think when in doubt, leave it out. It's, you know, the fact is these are older buildings. They don't meet all current standards. And therefore, you know, that is the overarching reason why they're, you know, either being rebuilt or remodeled. And we should probably leave it at that unless anybody else would share the assessment.
I think the last part of that sentence is that, you know, it's insufficient for current public building safety standards, current public safety building standards. So it's talking about the building. I think it says exactly what we needed to say as far as from my perspective.
I have no changes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll yield on this. Let's just run with it as is. What I'm responding to are things that I see out in the social media sphere and commentary, where not all of our members of the public trust recognize how hard this staff worked to get exactly and invest in only those critical things that needed to be done and to be extraordinarily efficient and faithful with taxpayer dollars. And these are expensive buildings to build because of the purposes they need to serve and the time that they need to serve them. I just want to make sure that people know that, you know, at every step, we're being very faithful to the concerns of taxpayers and the need for efficiency with these investments.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for staff on this item overall? Any other comments? Okay. Then I think we're ready for a motion for approving the annual report.
I'll move approval as is.
Okay. Although we would like to see
with the change in the graph.
In
yes.
The graph.
Sorry.
Exactly. Okay. Over here.
Second.
Okay. Great. We have a motion by Councilmember Funk, a second by Councilmember Peak. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk.
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
And Mayor Bourbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Thank you. And this has been a very short meeting. We are going to move on to council announcements and committee reports. I will start on my left this time with Councilmember Peak.
No committee report since our last meeting.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Daris.
Yeah. I have not had any meetings since our last meeting. Cap Slow meets next Thursday, and I don't have an agenda yet for that.
Okay. Councilmember Funk.
I have two coming up, and unfortunately, they are at the same time. Both of them are on the 19th, the Tascadero Groundwater Basin GSA, and Mr. DeBar will represent the city in that discussion. We're expecting it to, the agenda's not out yet. We are expecting routine business. And the other is a half-day session of the Homeless Services Oversight Council, where we're discussing how funding has been happening and what funding we're expecting from various sources for homeless services throughout the county over the coming year, despite the fact that it's pretty variable right now what those expectations might be, the best as we can, and do some substantial discussions as a basis of priority setting, so that as we move into grant funding cycles, that HSOC will be able to give direction to a grant review committee that is consistent with the strategic priorities of HSOC for the whole county.
Thank you, Councilmember Newsom.
I had a SLOCOG and RTA meeting on the 5th. SLOCOG talked about allocating money for Bob Jones project and reclassifying what order that they needed to extend the funding. And then RTA met and we approved the consolidation of Atascadero Inn with Morro Bay into RTA services.
Very good. Thank you. And tomorrow we'll have an Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting. And next Thursday, I will be attending my first Central Coast Community Energy Board meeting, which in this case will be officially hosted in San Luis Obispo County at the county offices. So although there are other locations where board members will be participating from. Okay, with that, does any member of the council have any individual determination or actions? Okay. Mr. Lewis, I don't recall if you mentioned in your comments, but this Thursday night is a community meeting with ECHO, right? Which was addressed to a broader neighboring, set of neighbors than originally.
That is correct.
That is open to any member of the public.
It is open to any member of the public at 6:30 at ECHO. It was more broadly noticed. That is true. And Mayor, we also didn't mention on the 19th, after your meeting, I believe, 3CE is having an open house of their San Luis Obispo office. And so from 4 to 6 at 1026 Palm Street in San Luis Obispo. So if someone wants to see the office for 3CE, there will be an open house then.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And with that, I believe we are adjourned and it is 6:32. Good golly. All right. Thank you all. We will see you all in 2 weeks.